Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 223 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Celeste Young knows that drinking is not about the wine. It's about the feeling. The feeling that no one understood. Being a mom, you can't complain or express your feelings because you would be labeled as ungrateful, or even worse, a bad mom. Her new book, It's Not About the Wine, deals with mommy wine culture and how she used wine to numb out all of these feelings of not being good enough. This is such a great conversation. Let's get into it. Celeste, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, Jessica?
I am fabulous. I just actually got my ass up this morning for some reason. Like, I don't know about you, but like some mornings, like I also don't have kids, so there's that. But I just don't want to get up. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to just work in bed. Like, that is my jam. I feel super productive working in bed.
It's a vibe. I'm right? with you. We could be in bed all day just doing our thing.
Yeah. So calming and so nice.
I agree.
Comfy. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, but I have got my ass up and went and played tennis. So,
oh, good for you.
Here we are. Yeah.
That's even better.
I love tennis. Do you play tennis?
I used to. I played a lot. Yeah. We went camping a couple weeks ago. My kids were playing tennis with me. Ooh. And it brought back a lot of old memories.
Yeah.
So, oh, that was great. That was intriguing. Yeah.
Cool.
And now the rage is pickleball. So,
oh yes,
my kids started playing pickleball too.
And
that's a lot easier than tennis. You don't have to run as much.
Hence, why it's so popular.
Exactly. Exactly. Right?
You get like the instant gratification of like, you know, like the winners with tennis and like hitting those like really awesome shots, and you could just like whip it. And because the ball's different. It's literally all the tennis highlights without any of the work, which is kind of like alcohol.
What? That was a great parallel.
That was, wow, that just came out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's literally all the rewards, mostly without any other running or work.
Without having to work for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Totally.
So Celeste, speaking of sobriety and speaking of being a parent, I definitely want to talk about your new book that's coming out. It's not about the wine, but first of all, I want to talk about you and your background and your personal relationship with alcohol or lack thereof and what that looks
like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little behind the scenes situation?
Yeah. You know, growing up in a family with an alcoholic dad, mm-hmm. I thought I had a leg up. Like, I knew what not to do.
Yeah.
And I thought I could go into my drinking journey independently because I'm not my father's daughter. I'm my own person. I know what not to do. And I had these fool's rules kind of established of as long as I'm not doing X, Y, Z, I can live my best liquored up life. And it worked well enough for me. You know, in hindsight, I was still drinking a heavy amount of alcohol. But at the time, the only comparison I had was my father's drinking. So it seemed to me I was doing just fine. Like, this was moderation as compared to him. And I followed that route for a long time. And it wasn't until I became a mom that some of the effects of alcohol became unsustainable. The hangovers weren't something I could navigate and still parent, not the way I wanted to parent. I couldn't I couldn't take the day off from parenting in those early days of motherhood. And the implications alcohol started having over my anxiety, it was impacting my my kind of roller coaster history of depression, and the effects on relationships. I realized in when it was just me, alcohol seemed fun and games and harmless. But when I had another life or two lives at stake, it became downright dangerous. And I knew I'd have to make some significant changes if I wanted to be the mom I wanted to be. And it was that mixed with some close calls of, you know, health issues, doing things that I regretted, getting into fights with my spouse that ultimately led me to quit cold turkey with no idea what I was doing. And that was about 5.5 years ago. But since then, you know, I have developed tools and I've found community support and I've done a lot of reading and researching and sharing my journey along the way, because it's a journey. You're learning so much about yourself, about the way alcohol is portrayed in our society. And it started to make me notice what kind of trap we put each other in with the alcohol trap. You know, when it comes to advertising, when it comes to memes joking about alcohol, and then specifically when it comes to mommy wine culture.
Right.
And once I put those two and two together, that we are setting a lot of new mothers up to potentially hurt themselves or their loved ones, I started to get pretty angry. I wanted to see some changes, and I wanted people to know that what is happening around mommy wine culture is not harmless. It's not just a funny meme. And we need to understand where it's coming from, because what I was noticing is a lot of mothers were frustrated and angry. A lot of mothers were faltering under the mental load of motherhood, under lack of systemic support, corporate procedures in the United States that are just not helpful to mothers and women in general. Yeah. And some of these are really at the root of what's causing many women to turn to alcohol, especially in parenting in the first place. So it kind of all came full circle when I started really digging into the why of why I was drinking. What was I trying to cope with?
Yeah.
And as I started answering those questions, bigger questions started to come. And that's kind of what got me here.
Wow. Something that stood out to me when you were talking is that you can't take a day off of motherhood. No days off. Like, how does that, just knowing that and experiencing that, what feelings does that generate? Because I don't, like I said, I don't even have kids. And the thought of that, anxiety spike.
A lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. You know, in my early motherhood experience, you know, I went through all of it. I went through postpartum depression, tons of anxiety, a lot of imposter syndrome. I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. Does anybody else know what they're doing? Because I do not know what I'm doing. I've got this little baby who can't even roll over on its own, and I'm in charge of it. Like, there's, it's very humbling.
How did we get away with this?
Yes. Nobody sends you home with an instruction manual.
No.
They just throw you out the door, and you are expected to now take care, nourish, and raise this child from the ground up.
Right.
And I felt.
And be really damn good at it. Because if you're not, then
everyone's
like,
watching.
People's going to come after you, and then they're going to like frown upon you and what you're doing. Judgment, judgment, judgment all
around. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the judgment.
Right.
And when I was there in that place going, oh my God, what the hell am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I looked, people were saying, mommy needs wine.
Ugh.
All you need is a glass of wine. Wine will get you through this. My kids are the reason I drink. Like it was.
What the hell?
It was everywhere. And it made, you know, at the time when yeah. I am in the midst of what might be the most terrifying moments of my life, I'm thinking maybe they're onto something. And so what started as I'm just going to have a little wine as a nightcap to close out each night
mm-hmm.
never ends there, right? And by the end of it, I was drinking far more than I was comfortable with. And I would wake up with these raging hangovers that made me feel so incapable of doing everything all over again, which is exactly what I had to do.
Ugh. And like, it feels like you're moving through quicksand at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, when in those early days of motherhood, the walls feel like they are caving in. And of course, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody has this experience. I was definitely going through postpartum depression with both right. my children, but it was very lonely and very isolating. And, you know, when you are feeding a baby 2, 3, sometimes 4 times in the middle of the night,
yeah,
it feels like you're the only person in the world. And it's scary.
Yeah, definitely. Oh. So what did you do to kind of turn this around? You know, drink, like you said, you're drinking more than you were comfortable with. Like, where did you even start? Because like, yeah. I'm sure like, oh, great. Another thing to add to my plate, right?
Exactly. It felt like for me, the idea of quitting drinking or not having my drink felt like one more thing. Yeah. To, cut me with, you know, death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
I literally had nothing else going for me. Let me at least have this. But it wasn't until I started seeing that the consequences of the alcohol were outweighing the benefits of what, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of feeling relaxed. Like when you break it down, it's not all that much. And it certainly wasn't worth destroying my mental health the following day and trying to recover from over consuming the night before. So, you know, I always look at energy as a currency. And when I think about the energy I was expending on alcohol each night, versus what I really needed energy for.
Yeah.
The cons outweighed the pros. And that's what I had to get to actually say, I need to see what life is like without it. Otherwise, I can't do this anymore. Like, this is unsustainable. This isn't the life I want to have.
Right. So what, like, how did you physically like kind of like overcome this? Like, what was, if you can think back to maybe like your early days, like first months, like what was kind of that inner chatter or going on for you?
So before I quit, you know, I had a lot of convincing moments. I had little nudges from the universe pushing me this direction. Mm. And once I reached the point where I knew I had to quit, it was completely based on a panic attack I had.
Okay.
But the panic attack was in my head. I kind of went through, what is this? What's going on? What's happening? And my father, you know, was, you know, when he was deep in his alcoholism, he had a stroke at a very young age, and he was permanently disabled. He lost his ability to speak. It changed his life forever. Yeah. And when I was having this panic attack, my first thought was, I'm having a stroke.
And oh, no.
Perhaps in the first time in my life, suddenly his life and my life did not feel all that different. You know, we had that conversion moment where I was like, maybe him and I aren't that dissimilar. You know, maybe what he's been doing all this time and what I'm doing now aren't as different as I've convinced myself for all these years. Mm-hmm. And it was that defining moment of, I have a drinking problem. And if I don't fix this now, my health or my family will fix it for me, and not in a way that I would like.
Right.
And
not by choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any way. Yeah.
Right.
So I quit that day not knowing what I was doing. I had never been to a recovery meeting. I'd seen my dad go for years. But I had never been to a recovery meeting. I had never picked up a sobriety book. I did not know that sober Instagram existed. Mm-hmm. I was as fresh as they can be.
Fresh as a daisy.
And I went into it completely fear and shame based, thinking this is all my fault. I'm an adult who has been sent back to the kiddie table. I can't manage alcohol the way everyone else in the world seemingly can, because I'm just an incompetent person. Right. And that's where I lived in my head for months and months and months. And it wasn't until I started digging deeper and reading the Quitlet and opening up Instagram to start looking up hashtags.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting my hands on some defining books that helped me feel like I was being seen and that this wasn't unusual. I'm not alone. And making me more aware of the opportunity that comes with sobriety. I feel like that's a message I had never heard in the past.
Mm.
Addiction felt like punishment.
Yeah.
I never understood sobriety to feel like freedom. But with the education and with learning more about it, I started to see how this could look. And that's when things got really exciting for me in my journey. But the first couple months was a lot of white knuckling.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, that's such an pivotal mindset change. You know, that sobriety is like a choice. Like it is full of possibilities and opportunities. It's not a punishment.
Right. And it's not like,
Celeste, you're a bad girl. You can't do this anymore. Bar, bar, bar. Like one likes to be told what to do or live in a place of
Of deprivation. Nobody wants to live in deprivation. And that's, I felt like that's what I was now subjected to for the rest of my life, because that's what I saw in my dad when he tried to quit drinking.
Yeah.
It was a life of deprivation. It was a life of basement meetings and weak coffee and telling the world that, or not telling anybody, because this is something to be ashamed of. And
it's a secret
and recognizing that this is your secret and you are powerless. So those were all the things that made me think, I got to keep this bottled up. No one can know, right? They'll use it against me. No one can know.
Right.
And it was a moment I had with, I was in a writer's group. I was about 11 months sober at the time. Okay. Still hadn't told anybody. The only people who knew was my husband and my mom.
Okay.
And somebody in the writer's group said, hey, let's do a thread of everything people are proud of. Like, what's going on in your life that you're proud of? And let's do shout outs of ourselves.
Cute.
Yeah. And somebody in the group said, I'm 6 weeks sober. And I had this light bulb moment. Like, is that something we're allowed to be proud of?
Oh, like, my God.
For the first time in that entire journey, I was like, I can be proud of this. Like, I don't have to hide this. Like, this is something worth being enthusiastic about. Like, I had seen the positive benefits in my life. Mm-hmm. But again, I thought this was something I was supposed to keep hidden and keep to myself. And so it was something about somebody else sharing that moment and me on the journey where I thought to myself, this is actually really cool.
Yeah. And something to be proud of and celebrated.
Yes. It started a revolution in my head.
Whoa.
Where I decided to change the narrative.
That is so cool. Like, thank God someone wrote that and like almost gave you the permission.
I know. I'm still friends with her. And we we talk about that moment because she laughed it off. Like, it was just, she was so excited at the time. And here for me, that was like the spark I needed to fuel a new fire. Yeah.
That is incredible. And also just goes to show you like how powerful being around like-minded people are, and like,
yes,
you know, that celebrate those qualities and those milestones in your life. Like that is everything.
That is so true. I think the power of community is so essential in building a healthy, sober lifestyle. I encourage anybody on a sober journey to, if you don't have that community, to find it. There's so many opportunities out there now. And it doesn't have to be just one way. Like everyone's so uniquely built. We're all motivated by different things.
Right.
Recovery is going to look different for everyone. So if one way doesn't work for you, try something else. If one community doesn't work for you, try a different one.
Yeah.
You are not trapped in just one way to do this. And I think the opportunity, especially in today's day and age, is really exciting that we have so much variety, and it's geared towards all types of different minds.
Yeah.
Really cool.
That's true. Yeah. And I love how, you know, you even mentioned like going on TikTok and Instagram and using social media like for good.
Right.
Right. Like using it to change your algorithm, to switch it up, to put some more inspiring and cultivating a group of people that maybe you admire or look up to or want to be like, you know, and that's really important. Like what we ingest visually, audibly,
100%
is so, I mean, it is literally life-changing. It's wild.
When you have a, like even just social media alone, when you have a social media space cultivated with sober, positive messaging, it's a game changer. Totally. You are, it's a mind shift because you have stepped away from maybe only seeing videos that are encouraging alcohol use or using it as a crutch, or joking about being a mom and how it's the equivalent of drinking wine, mommy juice. And when you switch it to a place where you're hearing positive messages about sober living and sober parenting, it subconsciously has a huge impact just on your thoughts and your thinking process.
Oh, totally. I am the first person, and I think I've said this before. So like when I first wrote my book, I literally just started following a bunch of like authors and women who like I thought like, you know, were really inspiring and motivating to me. And so every day, like, okay, maybe we're not supposed to do this and wake up and go and check our phones right away. I do it because I really love what I've cultivated.
Yeah.
And who I follow. And for me, it's not like, like a drain on my energy. It's like, oh, cool. Like, let's see what people are up to today. You know, like and it's inspiring as opposed to like being in that competitive state. I'm like, cool. I could take that idea and make it into my own. But yeah, so I was just like that, like that's normal to write a book, right? Like whatever, everyone's doing it. All my friends on Instagram are doing it.
I guess I will too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like I did it, and then everyone is like, what? Like you're insane. Like, how did you just pop off this book? And I'm like, well, everyone I'm following and all my friends on Instagram have already written theirs. Like, it's no big deal. Like,
it's just a book.
Yeah, it's just a book. Like what? Like it's hard.
Oh my God, I love it.
But like that, it changes like your standards, right?
Exactly.
It changes like your level of like your game. Like if you want to level up, surrounding yourself, or I mean, it doesn't even have to be in real life, but like
exactly
what you ingest. Yeah. Like what you ingest is like seeps into your subconscious. It seeps into like your energy, becomes habits. Those habits become actions, yada, 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 becomes who you are and what you produce.
It normalizes it, especially in a place where for many people, they are surrounded by people that are drinkers.
Yeah.
Do consume alcohol. So to be able to have a place whether it's social media, whether it's a sober community, where there's other non-drinkers speaking openly about being sober, it helps you normalize what you're doing. It helps you feel like you belong. It makes you feel like you're doing the right thing, where it can be an echo chamber when you are only surrounding yourself with friends and family who are drinkers.
Yes. Oh, I couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to ask, tell me about the book. What, like, were you following a lot of people who are writing books on Instagram too? Or how did this come?
A great question. It's, it's kind of a funny story. Okay. So I, created, this is the year before I quit drinking, ironically, and you'll see the irony in a little bit. I decided to do this thing called the Ultimate Mom Challenge, and it would be a year of me trying to be a better mom. Okay. Every month, I would focus on something that I thought would be important on how to help me level up my motherhood game, right? So one month was me trying to be more mindful. One month was me trying to be more centered. One month was me trying to be more fit. Like each month, I had this different focus on how I was going to level up my mom game. And at the end of the year, you know, I called it the Ultimate Mom Challenge. I decided this is going to be my first book. It's going to be like one mom's journey into becoming the ultimate mom. Something like that. I found a agent. We're starting to work on the book proposal all in the year that I had quit drinking. So the December where the Ultimate Mom Challenge was actually up, it was a January through December experiment. December 18th, I quit drinking. I'm right at the end of this experiment. It was totally unexpected, totally unrelated to the Ultimate Mom Challenge, but I had that panic attack. I had to make a change. I did it. And so working with my agent on this book about how to be a better mother, and the December of my 1 year soberversary, I posted to my followers that I am 1 year sober. And that was what gave, I finally had the courage to go public with it. I go public with, I'm 1 year sober. I realized I couldn't drink the way I drank and be the parent I want to be. So I decided to quit. Does this surprise you? It surprises me. You know, is this big old post? It was very well received. People were very kind and heartwarming about it. And my agent calls me, I think the next day, and she says, this needs to be your book. Put the Ultimate Mom Challenge aside. This has
to
be your book.
No way.
And of course, now I look back on the irony of here I was doing all these things to try to be a better mother, except the one thing I probably needed to do, which was to take away the alcohol. So that's kind of what got the book started. And from there, we started working on this book proposal and pitching it to publishers. But then COVID hit. And the entire world just shut down, including the publishing industry. So my agent said, sit tight, like nothing's going to happen. We don't know what's going to come out of this. And so in the meantime, I kept trudging along. I was homeschooling my kids. I was working full time from home, like everybody else. And I got a phone call towards the end of that year. Saying we got a book deal. And the beauty of all this is the coronavirus and the pandemic added so much to the message of why mothers drink and how the systems at place really negatively impact mothers. It would not be the same book if we didn't also have the data that came from the pandemic. So everything happens for a reason.
Definitely. That is so interesting. And now tell me about the title. It's not about the wine.
Yeah. And this
what is it about?
This is one of the epiphanies I had when, you know, I went to that area I was telling you about before of rage. Like I was angry. Yeah. Like, how did we get here? How did we get to this place where so many moms are drinking wine to cope, and why? Mm-hmm. And what I realized is it's not about the alcohol. I mean, the real problem is that we are under-supported at home and in the workplace. Yep. We're under-supported systematically. And we are pushed at by our culture, by people around us, to dig deeper, lean in, this mindset of you can do it all and you can look good doing it. And right. It's just a no-win situation. So yeah, no shit. We're drinking ourselves under the table. We have nothing to help us. We have nothing right. to support us. And that was, yeah, my come to Jesus moment, that it's not about the wine at all. Mommy wine right. culture is about this place where we are creating this narrative about needing wine to mm-hmm. cope with bigger powers that be.
Oh, definitely. 100%. I love that you dug deeper about that, you know, like not just stay superficial and about like the alcohol, because it really never right. is about right. the actual act of drinking.
And, you know, I think when I first quit, I did think it was about the alcohol. I think I used to blame wine for mommy wine culture, but now right. that I can see the forest from the trees,
right,
I really see that, you know, we have created this narrative, this mommy needs wine narrative to take a step back from knowing that we have a lot of situations and things in play that keep us powerless, yes. that keep us weak.
Yep.
And until we can
keep us under control.
Yeah. I mean, in the corporate life, you know, even at home, like domestic mm-hmm. labor, unpaid labor at home, you know, we're still seeing the majority of women in a, you know, cis partnership are doing the majority of the household work mm-hmm. Because that's just how it's always been done. Even as more and more right. women and mothers go back into the workforce, like that's still staying in place. And that needs to change.
Right.
You know, our parents thought it was okay, but that doesn't mean we need to still think it's okay. We need to make shifts to empower ourselves and our place in the household, in the workforce. And things like mommy wine culture, or, you know, even when you think about beauty culture or diet culture, like all of those are distractions from what we really need to be doing to get our power back.
Yeah.
And I see this as one of those things.
Yeah, I agree. And just because this has been the way of the world in the past does not mean that it is right and that it is working or that it is acceptable today. Like I said, we are supposed to grow. We're supposed to change and evolve. And that includes like the systems and how we do things.
Exactly.
You know, look at even credit cards. Remember taking credit cards?
Yes. Yes.
And like rubbing that thing over top of them. Like
we've come a long way. Yeah.
And now absolutely. We're literally just like tapping our phones to pay for shit. Like, right. come on.
I don't even have to bring my credit card around. My phone does everything for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we need to update the system here a bit.
We've made massive changes on so many fronts, but when it comes to expectations of mothers, very little has changed, and it needs to.
Right. How do you propose like that happens? Or like what would you like to see happen?
I'd love to get to a place where women and mothers were getting paid the same amount as their male equivalents.
Yeah.
I'd love to see federal paid maternity leave and paternity leave.
Yeah.
And that'd be a huge step in the United States. And it's almost embarrassing that we don't have this at this point.
Yeah.
I'd love to see better systems in place at the corporate level that help and support new mothers, more flexible working environments or work from home space or flexible hours. And these are all things that would be supportive of so many mothers, where we are currently trying to get by on old traditional ways of working and corporate structure that just have never been conducive to mothers because they were never meant to be conducive for mothers.
Right. It was like a last ditch kind of effort. Like, oh, we'll give them a little something, something to show.
Isn't that cute? Mommy wants to go back to work. How cute.
Right. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Right. Like, that's also another thing. Like, okay, so if a mother goes back to work, that means she's selfish or, you know, oh my God, she hasn't taken enough time. Like, she's judged for that.
Right.
And then if she doesn't go back to work, then she's lazy and wants to be a stay-at-home mom.
Exactly.
And like, oh, isn't that nice?
If you come in late, you get looked down upon. If you need to leave early for a family thing, you're not committed.
Yep.
If you have to leave in the middle of the day because you just got a phone call from school, I mean, there's zero flexibility.
Yeah.
And while I understand corporations, I mean, their primary job is to make money, but if they want to have a more inclusive environment that includes working mothers, then they need to make some changes.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I love that. So Celeste, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Yeah. So I'm on all the social medias at the Ultimate Mom Challenge.
Okay.
And you can find me there doing different things based on each platform, doing weird TikToks and annoying reels. And
she's on it. I love it. I love it. I love you're doing all the things. And then where can we, is your book in pre-order right now or where are we with the book? Where can
we
get that?
The book comes out September 12th. Anywhere books are sold. And it's called It's Not About the Wine, The Loaded Truth Behind Mommy Wine Culture.
Oh, love that. I can't wait. So where can you buy a pre-order the book?
You can pre-order it online anywhere books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, they're out there now available.
Perfect. Amazing. Celeste, thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience and your knowledge with us. This has been great.
Thank you, Jessica. This was really fun.
How fantastic is Celeste? Now, I'm not a mom, but I can definitely relate to the feelings of not being enough and using and searching for things outside of myself to fill those voids, to numb those feelings of not feeling worthy or good enough. I think we can all relate to that. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, leave your comments and feedback about the podcast. We love to read your feedback. And sharing is caring. If you know someone, a friend, a family member, or loved one who needs to hear what is in this episode or any other episodes we may have, please make sure to hit that share button and share it along. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Sober Girl's Guide and head over to asobergirlsguide.com. We got your back at any stage of your booze-free journey. From worksheets to exercises to our Sober Girl Social Club membership to group coaching, we have your back at any stage of your journey. Head to asobergirlsguide.com now. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.